Well, the 1976 Folklife Festival Bicentennial, Rajasthani musicians came. Nazir probably must have met with Komal Kothari in the process of making those choices. I have to check all the notes about that. Mm-hmm. So that would have been in 1975. And yeah. then, and I'm sure they must have been traveling outside of India by then, at least to Europe,
yeah.
I believe. So I can check that. In 1976, when we presented them at the festival, and then they invited us to come and visit them. In fact, they predicted that we were going to be in their village in Jaisalmer within 6 months, and we were in less. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like a spell. That's the way I was seeing it. And they cast a spell on us. So we were there, and we stayed in those circles for several weeks. We must have gone perhaps to Jodhpur in that time as well, mm-hmm. and met with Komal Da. And that began a very long association with Komal Kothari. Mm-hmm. He had already done such a great work preparing these musicians for doing public presentations and recording their repertoire and getting to know their lives and mm-hmm. helping them to make important decisions. It was just a constant flood of visitors, mm-hmm. always at his home and at the shrine, at the center that he had started in Burundi. Mm-hmm. I mean, Burunda. Mm-hmm. Burunda. Mm-hmm. So that was, this is the person who really made it possible for Rajasthan folk musicians to progress as much as they have. And
but like we were saying about what happens, I mean, what happens when this kind of musicians get this exposure, and when they are presented, to a world audience, or they go on tours and then come back, because we see it's very complex what
absolutely
goes on in the bowl experience. We see that. There's many things happening at the same time, and
yes.
they know what sells. They know the value of the music in terms of money. They know, I mean, all of these things have become, and it's like a transaction is going on. And sometimes you fear that do these interactions also cause some kind of harm, or
well,
what can happen? I mean, what in your experience?
Well, in one situation, sometimes the patrons won't let them sing for them anymore. I mean, they are not supposed to sing for other patrons, mm-hmm. and when this happens, sometimes the patrons actually mm-hmm. stick to it and they refuse to patronize them anymore. In spite of their long hereditary relationship, a patronage, jajmani relationship. So that's one thing. But there's also it's well known, and I know that Komal Da has talked with us about this, the fact that the repertoire gets frozen, they keep going to the same pieces all the time, and they get stale. The musicians get stuck, they stop being spontaneous, they have to. They know what works, and they just keep doing it over and over. They know that the audience isn't going to be able to understand the texts, and so they don't pay attention to the texts as much.
I think this happens with both.
And the repertoire also shrinks because they lose contact with some of the rest of the repertoire that they're not doing on stage, and so they don't remember it as well. In some cases, this certainly can happen. That's something we're always fighting with the Siddhis in terms of the program that I curated with them, that we're always trying to find changes we can do in the repertoire so that we put something different into the program for illustrating a different point or something like that. So it has to be addressed.
So what happens when you take music out of the context of the ritual and present it just as a piece of performance. I mean, does it do something to the music? What happens?
Well, this is happening to Sufi materials everywhere, that where they're becoming, it's as if they're being made into aesthetic objects, whereas previously they were ritual objects or, you know, events. And so this does naturally has an effect on the material. In the case of the Siddhis, because they, I mean, it was part of our original agreement that they would maintain the intent of the materials, even on stage, that it would be still a sincere expression of their devotion and so forth, that they have really been assiduous in trying to maintain that authenticity and their tariqa, that they will not waver from their tariqa. And so for them, the way they feel is that when they're on stage, it's for the audience, but for the most part, it's really for themselves and Baba Gaur. You know, so this is an act of devotion that is felt as still being an act of piety. So,
but when you did your field recordings of the Siddhis, you've done them at the time of, you know, at the shrine.
Yes,
in the place of.
And naturally, the entire community is participating. It's not just the young men who can go on a tour. You know, there are kids, children, and seniors.
We recorded Kirtan like that, you know, and so that the whole village is singing.
Yes, and nothing
so
like it. Yes,
that's a very different moment that's created.
Completely, yes.
And that can never be done on stage.
No, it's very difficult.